Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. And this time we're tackling a topic that's been, it's been burning up the headlines lately. Wildfires. We're not just talking about any wildfires though. The recent fires we saw in Los Angeles this past January, those were so intense they were making news even during what's usually a quieter time for fires. You know, it's usually a less fire-prone time of year. And these fires are really, you know, they're making us kind of rethink what we thought we knew about wildfire seasons and how these things behave. What's really got me curious, though, is this connection between all the heavy rains we've been having and these incredibly dry conditions. How can wetter weather actually lead to worse wildfires? It seems a little counterintuitive. Before we get into that, though, I do want to mention that our friend meteorologist Rob Jones does a great job of breaking down weather and climate stuff. You can find him on Instagram at meteorologist and on TikTok at TV meteorologist.
Yeah, it is pretty interesting when you think about these Los Angeles fires, right, because of their location and the timing. I mean, typically we associate California wildfires with those scorching summers and, you know, those dry winds that we get in autumn. But these fires were igniting right there on the coast in January. So it really does challenge those assumptions about when and where we can expect these really severe wildfires.
Okay, so we've got these fires popping up in unexpected places and at unusual times.
Yeah.
But how does that tie into this whole idea of weather making wildfires worse? I have to admit, that sounds a little counterintuitive to me.
Well, that's where this concept of weather whiplash comes into play. It's basically this term that describes these increasingly common swings that we're seeing between periods of, you know, we get intense rainfall, and then it's followed by these prolonged periods of drought. And the thing is, a wetter atmosphere can actually hold more moisture. So think of it like a giant sponge soaking up water. As temperatures rise because of climate change, the atmosphere acts like a bigger sponge, so it draws even more moisture from the ground. And that ends up intensifying those dry periods.
So more rain actually means more moisture is being pulled from the land, making those dry spells even drier. That's kind of wild when you think about it.
Exactly. It creates this really vicious cycle that fuels those more severe wildfires. Mm-hmm. And if we kind of zoom out and look at the bigger picture here, we see that climate change is really a major driver. While it might not be directly sparking the flames, it's acting like this threat multiplier. It's amplifying those existing conditions and making them ripe for wildfires to ignite and then spread really rapidly.
That makes a lot of sense. So it's not just about less rainfall overall. It's about these extreme shifts mm-hmm. and how those impact the land. Drought isn't the only factor at play here, though.
Right, right. Another misconception is this idea of asbestos forests. There's this myth that certain areas like California's coastal forests are somehow immune to wildfires because they're typically moist. The problem is with these prolonged dry spells and a lack of rainfall, even traditionally damp areas are becoming really parched. And that means those forests are turning into tinderboxes, making them vulnerable to burning, just like other drier regions.
So the areas we thought were safe are now at risk, too. Mm. That's pretty alarming. How does this all connect back to the LA fires specifically, though? I mean, were they directly fueled by this weather whiplash phenomenon?
Well, every fire has its own unique set of circumstances, of course. But the LA fires are a really good example of how these broader climate trends are playing out on the ground. You know, the combination of drought, parched vegetation, and potentially even unusual wind patterns. All of these factors can be linked back to the broader shifts we're seeing with climate change.
It's like all these pieces of the puzzle are fitting together. Drought, weather whiplash, shifting fire seasons, and even the vulnerability of those coastal forests. It really highlights how climate change is reshaping our understanding of wildfire risk.
And it's not just a California problem either. We saw the devastating impacts of the Canadian wildfires back in 2023, you know, when the smoke blanketed the U.S. East Coast. It created hazardous air quality for millions of people. Scientists are predicting a significant increase in wildfire risk across the globe as temperatures continue to rise and weather patterns become more extreme.
So we're looking at a global wildfire crisis fueled by climate change.
Precisely. And while climate change is a major driver, it's important to acknowledge the human factor, too. You know, things like arson and poorly maintained power lines can directly ignite wildfires. And when you combine those human-caused sparks with the dry conditions that are created by climate change, it's a recipe for disaster.
It's like we're creating this perfect storm for wildfires to thrive.
Unfortunately, yes. And the impact goes far beyond just the immediate threat of the flames.
Right. We've seen those devastating images of communities that have been reduced to ash. But what about those less visible impacts?
Well, wildfires have far-reaching consequences for public health, the economy, and the environment. The smoke from these fires is incredibly harmful, particularly for children and people with respiratory conditions.
I remember seeing those images of cities shrouded in that thick smoke. It was a stark reminder of the health risks involved.
Absolutely. And these fires don't just impact our air quality in the short term. They release huge amounts of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, contributing to the very climate change cycle that's driving these intense wildfires in the first place. It's a dangerous feedback loop.
Okay, so we've got this public health hazard from the smoke, and then the long-term impact on the climate itself. What about the economic costs, though? I imagine those must be pretty significant, too.
They are. We're talking about billions of dollars spent on fighting wildfires each year, not to mention the damage to property infrastructure and natural resources. The economic burden is only going to grow as these fires become more frequent and intense.
It's clear that these wildfires are having a ripple effect across so many aspects of our lives.
And it's a problem that's only going to get worse unless we take action. But the good news is there are things we can do, both as individuals and as a society, to mitigate the risks and adapt to this new reality.
That's a great segue into the next part of our deep dive. But before we get there, I want to take a moment to acknowledge the emotional toll these wildfires take on individuals and communities.
You're absolutely right. The trauma of losing a home, the fear of living under constant threat, and the grief of witnessing such widespread destruction, it can be incredibly difficult to process.
It's a reminder that these fires have a human cost that goes beyond the physical damage.
Exactly. And it's important to seek support if you're struggling with the emotional impact of these events. There are resources available for those who have been directly affected by wildfires, as well as for those who are experiencing anxiety or distress related to climate change and its impacts.
It's a reminder that we need to take care of ourselves and each other, both physically and emotionally, as we navigate these challenging times.
Absolutely. And while the challenges are daunting, it's important to remember that there is hope. There are things we can do to make a difference.
Well said. We'll be back after a short day.
Hold on. Before we move on, I just wanted to add one more thought. We've been talking about the destructive side of wildfires, but it's important to remember that fire also plays a natural and essential role in many ecosystems.
Oh, that's interesting. Tell me more.
You know, for centuries, wildfires have helped clear out dead wood and underbrush, allowing new growth to thrive. They've been a natural part of the cycle of renewal in many forests. The problem is with climate change intensifying these fires and human development encroaching on wild areas, that balance has been disrupted.
So it's not about eliminating wildfires altogether. It's about finding a way to coexist with them in a healthier and more sustainable way.
Exactly. And that's where the conversation about forest management, land use planning, and climate action becomes so critical.
That's a perfect segue into the next part of our deep dive, where we'll explore those solutions in more depth. We'll be back in a moment to discuss what we can do both individually and collectively to mitigate the risks of wildfires and adapt to this new reality.
Welcome back. Before we went to, well, not a break since it's a podcast, we were talking about how wildfires are becoming more frequent and intense, plus they're harder to predict, largely because of climate change. So now let's shift gears and talk about what we can do about it.
Yeah, it's easy to feel overwhelmed when you think about the scale of the problem. But what are some practical steps we can take both individually and as a society to tackle this growing wildfire threat?
That's the question, isn't it? There are things we can do on both levels. One of the most important things you can do on an individual level is to be aware of the wildfire risk in your community.
That makes sense. But how do we actually figure out that risk?
The National Risk Index is a fantastic resource. You can go online, plug in your location, and get data on wildfire risk for your area. It can even show you the risk down to your neighborhood.
So arming ourselves with information is the first step. And what can we do with that knowledge?
Knowing your risk allows you to take steps to protect your home and property. A crucial step is creating what's called defensible space around your home.
Defensible space, what does that mean?
It means clearing away flammable vegetation like trees, brush, and dry grass within a certain radius of your home. You're essentially creating a buffer zone to slow down or even stop a wildfire from reaching your house.
Okay, that sounds like a smart move for homeowners. Are there specific guidelines for creating this defensible space?
Yes, there are. For example, California has the 100-foot rule, which requires homeowners in high-risk fire areas to remove vegetation within 100 feet of their homes.
So there are rules in place to help guide people. But I can imagine that clearing out that much vegetation can be a daunting task, especially for those with large properties. Are there any alternatives or additional precautions people can take?
There are hardening your home is another important step. This involves using fire-resistant materials for your roof siding, windows, and even vents.
So simply making your home more resilient to embers and flames.
Exactly. And don't underestimate the simple things, regularly cleaning your gutters to prevent the buildup of dry leaves and debris that can easily catch fire can also help.
These are all great tips for homeowners. But what about renters? What can they do to stay safe from wildfires?
Renters should absolutely be proactive about wildfire safety, too. Talk to your landlord about the fire safety measures in place, such as sprinkler systems and evacuation plans. And it's always wise to have a go bag prepared with essentials like important documents, medications, and a change of clothes just in case of an evacuation.
That's a good reminder for everyone, really. But let's zoom out a bit. We've talked about what individuals can do. What about the bigger picture? What can we do as a society to address this wildfire problem?
This is where it gets more complex, but also where we have the potential for real impact. One key area is forest management.
I've heard that term before. How can we manage our forests more effectively to reduce the risk of wildfires?
For a long time, the prevailing thought was to suppress all wildfires, but we're starting to understand that fire is actually a natural and essential part of many forest ecosystems. It helps clear out dead wood and underbrush, which can actually make forests healthier and more resilient to catastrophic fires in the long run.
So it's about striking a balance between suppressing fires and allowing them to burn naturally when it's beneficial.
Precisely controlled burns, sometimes called prescribed burns, are becoming an increasingly important tool for forest management. These are intentionally set, carefully planned, and monitored fires used to reduce fuel loads and improve overall forest health.
That sounds promising, but also a little bit risky. How can we ensure that these controlled burns don't get out of control?
You're right. It does require expertise, and very careful planning experts consider weather conditions, fuel moisture levels, and numerous other factors to minimize the risk of a controlled burn spreading beyond its intended boundaries.
It's good to know they're being careful, but it sounds like a calculated risk with the potential for big benefits. Are there any other large-scale approaches to wildfire management we should consider?
Another important area is land use planning. As more people move into fire-prone areas, we need to be more strategic about where and how we build.
So it's about being smarter and more sustainable with our development, taking into account the natural hazards of a particular region.
Exactly. Building codes could be updated to require more fire-resistant materials, and we could encourage landscaping practices around homes that reduce the risk of fire spreading.
That makes sense. It's about taking a more proactive approach to wildfire prevention rather than just reacting after a fire has already started.
And of course, we need to invest in research and technology. The more we can learn about wildfire behavior, the better we can predict and manage them. Imagine being able to use advanced computer models to simulate fire spread, or using AI to analyze satellite imagery to identify areas at high risk of burning.
It's fascinating to think about how technology could play a bigger role in wildfire management. But while we're working on all of these long-term solutions, what can we do in the short term to protect ourselves and our communities right now?
One of the most critical steps is to improve early warning systems and evacuation procedures. We need to make sure people have access to timely and accurate information about wildfire threats and clear instructions on what to do if an evacuation order is issued.
That sounds absolutely essential, especially considering how rapidly these wildfires can spread.
It is, and those evacuation routes need to be well-maintained and accessible. We've seen in recent years how traffic jams during evacuations can put people in even more danger.
So it's not just about getting the warning out, it's about ensuring that people can evacuate quickly and safely.
Right, and we need to make sure our firefighters have the resources and support they need to do their jobs effectively and safely. These are incredibly brave individuals who are facing increasingly challenging conditions. We need to invest in better equipment training and technology to help them combat these increasingly complex and intense wildfires.
It's easy to forget the human toll these wildfires take, not only on those who lose their homes and livelihoods, but also on the firefighters who put their lives on the line to protect us.
They are true heroes, and they deserve our unwavering support.
Okay, so we've talked about individual actions, forest management, land use, planning early warning systems, and supporting our firefighters. What else should we be doing on a societal level to tackle this wildfire crisis?
There's one more thing that is absolutely critical, but it often gets overlooked. We have to address climate change itself.
That makes sense. We can do all these things to adapt to wildfires and mitigate the risks, but if we don't address the root cause of the problem, It's like we're just putting a band-aid on a gaping wound.
Exactly. We need to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions on a global scale if we want to slow down the warming trend and reduce the severity of climate change, impacts wildfires included.
It seems like so many things come back to climate change.
They do. Wildfires are just one of the many consequences we're facing as the planet warms, and they serve as a powerful reminder that we need to take urgent action.
I imagine a lot of people listening might feel overwhelmed and even hopeless when they think about the scale and complexity of this problem. What would you say to those who are feeling that way?
I understand those feelings completely, but I think it's important to remember that there's immense power in collective action.
What do you mean by that?
Even small everyday actions can have a big impact when millions of people take them. We can all do our part to reduce our carbon footprint, make more sustainable choices, and advocate for policies that promote clean energy. It all adds up.
So you're saying it's about empowering ourselves to be part of the solution, even in seemingly small ways.
Yes, every little bit counts. And remember, you're not alone. There are countless individuals, organizations, and communities worldwide working to address these challenges. By joining forces, we can create real and lasting change.
Welcome back to our deep dive into wildfires and climate change. You know, we've gone from the science behind these increasingly destructive fires to the actions we can take to try and mitigate the risks.
Yeah.
And we've talked about how to adapt to this new reality where megafires are unfortunately more common.
Yeah, and what really stands out to me is just how interconnected this all is. You know, we've seen how climate change amplifies everything. It intensifies those droughts. It's creating that weather whiplash that we discussed, and it's making those fire seasons longer and more unpredictable. But we've also seen that human actions play a role both in starting these fires and in how we manage our forests.
It really is like this giant complex puzzle. So many pieces fit together to create this really challenging problem. But I have to say, even with the daunting statistics and predictions, what strikes me is the resilience of people. You know, it feels like we have this enormous capacity for innovation and problem solving.
Oh, absolutely. I see that too. You see communities coming together to support each other after these devastating fires. And of course, the firefighters, you know, they bravely put their lives on the line to protect us, and all the scientists and researchers who are working tirelessly to develop new technologies to better predict and manage these fires.
Yeah, while the challenges are massive, so is our ability to rise to the occasion. But something that often feels missing in these conversations is the sense of what we as individuals can actually do. Like, what can we do to make a difference when we're facing something as big as climate change?
Well, I think it comes down to finding those seemingly small everyday actions that, when multiplied by millions, create this ripple effect. You know, it's about making choices in our daily lives, everything from how we consume energy to the products we buy to how we vote.
So it's about being mindful consumers, responsible citizens, and advocates for change in our communities.
Exactly. And staying informed and engaged is key. The more we understand about these complex issues, the better equipped we are to make decisions and push for change.
Knowledge is power, but it's not just about knowing the facts. It's about using that knowledge to make a real difference in our lives and in the world around us.
It's about taking action. It's about understanding that even small actions, when we all do them, can have a massive impact.
So as we come to the end of this deep dive into wildfires and climate change, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought-provoking question. What's one thing you can do today to be a part of the solution?
It could be as simple as switching to LED light bulbs, or eating less meat, or maybe plant a tree, or maybe it's something bigger, like advocating for policies that encourage clean energy or supporting organizations that are protecting our forests and fighting climate change.
Whatever it is, we all have a role to play in building a future that is both more sustainable and more resilient. It starts with each of us taking responsibility for our actions and aligning our choices with our values.
And remember, big changes don't happen overnight, but every step we take, no matter how small it seems, is a step towards a healthier planet and a brighter future.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into wildfires and climate change. We hope you found it informative and thought-provoking, and more than anything, we hope you feel empowered to make a difference. Until next time, stay curious, stay engaged, and stay hopeful.